Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we can ever grow and ever increase in our relationship with you. We're hungry, we're thirsty, and we are blessed. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen. You know, I was going to share right off the start here that my sister, who lost her husband 1 year ago, he was a missionary, he was 75, and they'd been worked in Guatemala, and then they did Bible colleges and all kinds of things. He was a great guy. He is a great guy. And but she just called me, and she's fought some anxiety and depression for many, many, many years. And we really wondered how she was going to do by herself. And she called me and spent some time, and she's really had a breakthrough. And she's doing way better than we've ever seen her do for 30 years. And it's still a real struggle and really misses her husband. But one thing she said to me, I want to share with you, she says, you know, I depended on him so much for my relationship with Jesus. And now he's gone, she says, I have the best relationship I've had. And she said, I grabbed Jesus' picture that, you know, that little girl made, and most of you know that. And she said, I put it on the pillow beside me at night. And when I get anxious or wake up and feel alone, I just reach over. And she said, you know, and the thing is, she's been a Christian since the time she was a little girl. But to think that, as Tammy was sharing, this relationship we have with Jesus can ever grow and get better and better. And that's an awesome thing, isn't it? And so she says, I really miss my husband. I really, you know, but she says, I'm enjoying some things that I'd never enjoyed before because I'm just seeking him. So that's kind of the we're going to talk today about. You know, I told you last week I had these words coming to me a couple weeks ago on a Thursday. I was in Rapid City and I heard these words, go home. Now, I don't know how to explain that to you. I know you guys experience some of the same things. You just, these words pop in your head and you kind of, you know, wonder where they come from or if they're significant or nothing. But I thought it was maybe just I need to go home to my house. And so a lot of times when that happens, I try to really check in because sometimes, listen, there's snares set for us. There's troubles that can happen. And we know we're going to have trouble. But even like car wrecks and stuff, there's so many people that have testimonies. They got in a wreck, but they look back and the Lord told them, stay here for a little bit before you take off. And they just kind of blew it off and said, that must not be nothing. And I just think it's really wise, you know, like after 9/11, Elisa and I just committed that we would not shake off any hesitations that we had. And if we were headed to the airport and had a flat tire, we weren't going to get anxious. Maybe we were supposed to skip that plane, you know. And so we've held on to that. So I was just thinking about that, go home. So and then it just stayed with me for the next few days and et cetera. And so then it's a relationship. You walk through, you grow, you give it time, and part of it is it's a great experiment. And I was just talking to Scott beforehand, you know, we as Christians so often, like, if we fail in what we think the list is, then we feel like failures and we're ready to give up and I just quit. And it's like life is just not that way. It's an ongoing process, and every failure is just another way of learning. And so often, I feel sorry for kids that get straight A's because they think that that's supposed to be the way it is all the rest of their life. And it's like, I'm sorry, but you learn more through stumbling than you do walking. That's why I don't mind stumbling over some things. Sorry about that. So let me start with this. Every image and every belief system that you have in your life, if you want to walk in the power of God, in the favor of God, they have to become congruent with the nature and the character of Jesus and his words. Now, if you're a young person here, or maybe you're even older and you don't know what the word congruent means, it's an algebra, probably more like geometry term. But it's like if you have one triangle here and you have one over here and they match up, you could overlay them, they're the same, it's congruent. And so that means it's matching up with what it's supposed to be. And so everything that we believe should be congruent with the nature of and character of Jesus, and Tammy said that very well. And so His death and his resurrection brought a new covenant and changed everything. And this is where a big, big failure for all of us is we go back and we see how God dealt with people in the Old Testament, and we try to bring that into the New Testament and say, well, it's, you know, he did it that way. He's still doing that today. And it's like part of our understanding and our seeking has to be to find out what really changed at the cross and at the resurrection. So I'm going to share quite a few scriptures here at the beginning, very quickly, I think, or somewhat quickly, and then we'll go from there. So Jesus came, and if you think about it, he came and he's proclaiming, and what he proclaimed more than anything else was the kingdom. The kingdom. So listen to these scriptures, and we'll just go through them and listen to them. And the first one's in Luke 8, and it says, soon afterwards, he, Jesus, began going around from city to city and village to one to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Matthew 4 says this, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Matthew 10 says this, and as you go, he's talking to the disciples, preach, proclaim. And then I'll just throw this in as Tammy's saying, your platform or your opportunity isn't always just by speaking up in front of people. It's not always even speaking one-on-one. Sometimes it's just your demeanor and just your whole heart attitude and how you look and your eyes. We communicate in so many ways, and we proclaim it. So he says, go and proclaim or preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is now, is at hand. Matthew 13 says, Jesus answered and said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. So there are mysteries or secrets or things unknown that can be known. The beautiful thing about a mystery is it can be known. It's just a mystery to you until you, because if you don't know it, but there are things, and he definitely tells us that you and I should understand and should come into the secrets about the kingdom of heaven. So those are things that can make a lot of difference in our life. Matthew 13 says this, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown. And Satan comes and steals it. So, again, just highlighting how many times Jesus declared that he was proclaiming, teaching the gospel of the kingdom. In a lot of churches, you won't hear that word much. Okay? Well, let's go on. Matthew 24 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 10:25 says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Then the eye of the needle was the entrance way into a city that was like a doorway when they blocked everything else out and closed up the city, and the big gates were shut down. Then if you wanted to go into the city, you went through this little doorway, is smaller, and for a camel they'd have to get down on their knees and wiggle through there because they were too tall to go through when the gate was shut. It could be done, but it's very difficult. And so he's saying, you know, hopefully we'll come back to that, but think about that. Jesus is saying a rich man is going to have a difficult time entering the kingdom of God. And his disciples said, well, then who can be saved? So they didn't, I think, you know, it's interesting, the disciples didn't consider themselves poor. At least some of them didn't. And some of them weren't poor. Matthew was a tax gatherer. Peter was a good fisherman. So they're saying, man, who can enter then? And God just says, impossible with man, but possible with him. Acts 28 says this about Peter. Or about Paul, and he stayed two full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered. So the Bible says in John 3, it says you cannot see or enter or experience the kingdom of God until you get born again, until you become a spiritual being. When we get born again from God, we become a brand new creature and we're a spiritual being. We still have our soul that has our mind, our emotions, and our will, and we still have this body. But he said in order to enter into the kingdom, you have to be born again. And once you see and perceive and understand and experience and dwell in the kingdom of Jesus, everything in your life flips. Everything is, you see it all, you see everything different. You perceive everything different. Unfortunately, a lot of people think he's just talking about going to heaven. Now, it says kingdom of heaven. And some think there's a difference when he says kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, but I don't believe it is. After many, many years of looking at this, you can find where he says it's the same thing. So once in a while it says heaven, once in a while it says the God. And then all through it, he talks about the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus. And so I believe there's only just one kingdom he's talking about entering. And so it I don't believe at all that it means heaven, where we go to a place. The actual word for kingdom is a place where he rules, a realm. But it actually says it's not like a location. It's a realm that he rules in. His kingdom is where he is ruler, and he's king. And so it is a spiritual realm that you and I. That's why you can't see it and why you can't enter it and can't perceive of it until you get born again, because it's a spiritual realm. So the only way you can get in there is to be born of the Spirit. And then you enter it, and then you see it, then you perceive it. So in Matthew 6:30 it says this, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Interesting, isn't it? I was sitting in my hot tub, and this will probably be another message, but a few weeks ago, and it was a quiet night. It wasn't cold. It wasn't like all it is now. It was just a nice night, and I just lay in there just, you know, talking to him, fellowshipping, and all of a sudden I heard this branch crack and, you know, leaves, you know. When you're laying there, you know, with your head back and all that, and I got land, you know, my dog once in a while comes and sees me, and he's looking right at me, you know, and I always think, if I ever turned and it wasn't my dog, and it was a mountain lion, I'm not really sure what I'd do. I've tried to meditate that, whether I just go under the water or go up screaming, yelling, throw hot water on it, I don't know. But I will admit, every once in a while, my heart rate goes up, and you just, you know, you're feeling really good, and then all of a sudden something happens, you go, ooh, and all that stuff starts happening in your body, a fight and flight thing. And so I heard this noise, and it was such a quiet night, and I just, boom, and I kind of sat up, and for some reason I thought, man, that shouldn't hit me that hard. There's a lot of things around here. There's rabbits and stray cats and a lot of deer. And so, you know, and it just went into a conversation right away of, do you really trust me? And I got a whole nother message coming on that. But it ties in right here of just saying, here Jesus saying, your everyday life I'm concerned about. I am not unaware of your needs, of the flesh of your body and the soul. I've already created a spirit, and inside that spirit, everything's been imparted to you, but I know that you still dwell in a body, and I know that, and I take care of the grass, and I take care of the flowers, and I take care of the, and you're worth a lot more. And then he just says, so it, what's going to determine some of that outcome is your faith, how much you trust him. Matthew, the next verse goes this way. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek. This word seek is, I love this word because it's just, it's so pragmatic with life to go seek something. And let me read you some of the definitions from different Bible dictionaries. To seek a thing. All right, that sounds good. To seek, to specifically in the Hebrew culture, to worship God. It has also a bad sense to plot against life. So many words in the Greek can be either go for the positive or the negative. It's kind of interesting how that works and how you have to discern it. And then it goes on to say, you know, seek in order to find. Now, I love this one because we share it every time I share this. I know that. But it's just such a great illustration when you send your kid in to seek for something. A lot of times you just know they didn't seek to find. They just walked in to satisfy you to come back out and say, I can't find it, so you go find it. And, man, it was just always amazing. Isn't it amazing? I mean, even for a husband and wife, Lisa will ask me, I'll say, where is something? She's on the counter, you know, and I go, I can't find it. And she swears, I'm not looking because it's right there. But sometimes, you know, it's the thing closest to you that you don't see. I'm going to blame it on the glasses. But you seek in order to find. That's, I think, really important that what Jesus is saying here is if you seek, you need to expect to find it. You need to know you're going to find it. And then listen to this. To seek in order to find out by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into, to seek after, to seek for, to aim at, to strive after, to require, to demand, to crave, to demand something from someone. So this is, it starts describing how we seek. And we seek a lot of it with our thinking and our meditating and our reasoning, just reasoning things out. But we get after it, we're craving it, we're actually putting demand on it. So he goes on to say, but seek first, and that means first in priority. E.W. Vine, I believe, says in this, he said, not only first in priority, but first in only. It's almost like it's indicating, seek this and don't seek anything else. Make this the very first thing you think of. Make it the very first thing you seek. And don't seek and pretty much prioritize it to the only thing. Now, that's really, if you think about this, this is Jesus talking to us. Remember when the Heavenly Father spoke over Jesus, said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. So that's what we're doing today, this morning. But he said, seek first. Now, it says in my translation, his kingdom. But his is not in the Greek translation. It's put there by the translators because they think it fits, and it sure could. But let's eliminate it, first of all, and just say, but seek first kingdom. Kingdom. So going through all those scriptures we went through, how important is it that we know what the kingdom is? My dad once in a while would tell me to go get a tool, and once in a while I was too embarrassed to say, I don't know what that is. On the job site, we used to have a lot of fun with the newcomers coming in. I don't know why it's so fun to tease people, but it is. But, you know, you tell them to go, hey, would you go get the board stretcher for me? And I was amazed how many young people, you know, and older ones would, okay. And they take off, you know, and go to the trailer or go wherever, and it's like, you wonder how long it's going to take them before they come back and say, I can't find it. You know, and part of it is, well, do you know what you're looking for? No. I don't know about you, but I've done that sometimes. Just I think, I'll figure it out on the way. Lisa said this, go get this, I'll figure it out. Once in a while she'll tell me to get something in the grocery store, and I have no idea if it's going to be in a bottle with powder, you know, or if it's going to be a liquid. I have no, you know. And So you go seek, but like, how can you find something if you don't know what it looks like? If you don't know what it is? And I guarantee you, a bulk of Christians, if you said, "What is the kingdom?" they'd say heaven or something else. But here, all this that Jesus said over and over, he didn't come preaching anything. He came preaching the kingdom, and yet here it is. Do we know what that is? And then he says, seek it above everything else. And so, come back to our scripture, but seek first kingdom and righteousness. And righteousness. What's that? And again, most Bibles put his righteousness, but really, I kind of like eliminating his righteousness, because Paul said, not knowing about his righteousness, we come up with our own. And that's what, as Tammy was sharing, every religion is basically, since they don't know what his perception of righteousness is, they just make up one. And boy, I tell you, this is amazing. When you look around you, even in this place, and go, people just made up rules of what it takes to be right. And then they yield to it. And they seek it, they find it, and then they yield to it, and they're doing these things, thinking it makes them right with God, thinking it makes them the way they should be. And it's just their rules. You know, one guy was, one of the people, our staff was ministering to one man. He got married, you know, he and his wife laid out their plan for their life. This, we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, and then we're going to build this, and da-da-da-da-da. And then after about 5 years, she divorced him. And he was talking to one of our staff, and he goes, and she was trying to figure out how to help him. He was just so depressed and discouraged. And she finally said, "Are you still trying to fulfill that dream and those plans?" He goes, "Yeah." And it's like, honey, he's gone. Or she's gone. And your whole, you can't fulfill that dream now. Why are you? But he wanted to hang on to that. And there was no way to do it, and it was useless. And yet, isn't that the case with so many people? They have an idea of who God is, what he demands, and they're trying to fulfill that, and they're frustrated, and they're frustrated with God, they're frustrated with themselves because they can't do it. And in all reality, it's like, that's not the plan to begin with. Let it go. There's so many things we need to send away and just say, it's a brand new day here today, and I'm free. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom and righteousness. And all these things, what things? Everything else that you need in your temporal life and spiritual life to grow, to be free, to be happy, all these things will be added unto you. They'll all come. And I say to you and to me who believe the word and stand on the word, I stand in a place where it says, I need to increase my faith. I need to increase my confidence that if I seek the kingdom and righteousness, everything else that I desire, that I want, that he wants, that will be congruent and will come to pass. And yet I'd have to say, boy, it's pretty easy to not have that the first thing I seek. It's really easy not to have it the only thing I seek. And yet I think, I want to win, don't you? You know, as I get older, there's some things I can't do anymore. I just don't have the energy. In some ways, that really frustrates me. But in other ways, it's kind of like my sister. It's like when her husband was removed and he goes on to glory, Now she's got to start building her own relationship, and she's going, wow, I think the revelation would be, I should have done this when he was here. Amen? And it's like me, I should have done this even when I had a lot of energy. Okay, I'm not worried about the past. There's no condemnation, but I am concerned about my future and how I'm going to end. And I don't want to go the way of the world concerning old age. Okay, there is a way of the earth. Amen? Something you're great. Yep. And that's some of these things that will be added unto you. Now, it's what's interesting when we talk about people that, I've heard people say, you know, man, this guy served the Lord. He was faithful. He was, you know, this, he was that. And they, you know, and then all this happened, this tragedy or this thing happened or whatever else. And I say, we're living a fallen world. It's going to be tragic things happen. And sometimes people will say it this way. Well, he did everything so good. And I just can't believe this happened to him. You know what that indicates? It indicates their thinking, if you do things right, bad things won't happen to you. That's a form of righteousness that is not what God describes. It's never what we do, ever. It's never our faithfulness, ever. It's never, how much we pray, never, that causes us to receive the blessings of God. It is only the righteousness that is a free gift from him through the resurrection that he handed to us. It's only that righteousness that gets us where we ought to be. And righteous means be the way you ought to be. And in God's view, if we want to be congruent with God's view, he wants us victorious. He wants us protected. He wants us alive. He wants the kingdom. And the kingdom is what? Righteous, be the way you should be. You know what? You know how wonderful that is when you finally like you, and you finally are satisfied with you and your walk, and there's no rebuking the covetousness. Or listen, you know the law, as Tammy said, arouses sin, but sometimes but we still need to know that we shouldn't covet. Do you know when you really have the righteousness of God inside you and the kingdom, and you perceive it, there's no way you covet anything, because you know you got everything you're supposed to have, and you love it and you enjoy it, and there's no lack. You don't have anything. You know, every commercial that you and I watch or hear is to create lack inside of us, so we want to go get that stuff. Man, you can watch a commercial and never have even a desire for what's being said before in your life. See it, and it has a way of they study this to figure this out, to motivate you to say, I got to have one of those. Then you get it and you go, I don't like it. But you sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? And so the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace. How wonderful is peace? When you got peace, you don't fight, you don't murder, you don't covet, you don't get into trouble, you don't. The law is absolutely, you know, people say, we need the Ten Commandments in our schools. And I say, why? Now, some would be appalled with that. What? You don't believe we ought to need the Ten Commandments? No, I really don't. It just rouses sin. We need to have kingdom preached. We need to know that the law never made anybody the way they should be. And it never will. We don't need the law. Well, I thought it was a tutor. The tutoring is just, we fail at it, so we go find Jesus. If we go find Jesus, we don't need the tutoring. That makes sense. Once you know that you're going to seek the kingdom and seek righteousness, you don't need a tutor anymore. You passed. You went into the higher level of seeking the right thing. And the law and all those rules have no meaning to you. And there's tons of scriptures that say, oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm not making this up. The kingdom of God is righteous, being the way you should be, and how fun it is when you stop comparing yourself. Remember the six C's last week? When you stop comparing yourself, oh my gosh, it is so easy to compare. It is just, it's a slippery slope. It does, oh, just to get happy with you. I won't go there. You all know enough to know that you look in the mirror and you wish you had that and you wish you didn't have this. And et cetera, et cetera. But there is a place that we can get to It is not made, it's not for when we get to heaven. It's seek the kingdom is now, where we can be at peace and we can be happy with who we are. Not only happy, but just absolutely comfortable, absolutely, you know. How much fun is it to be around a person that likes being around themselves? And how miserable is it to be with somebody that doesn't like their life? It is just draining when people don't like themselves. Peace and joy in the Spirit of God. I believe with all my heart that when the Bible says walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh, he's talking about walking in the Spirit's the same as entering the kingdom of God. So we seek in order to find. We need to know what we're looking for. We need to know where to seek. We need to know how to seek. And we need to know how often we should seek. So the answer to that is we need to seek all the time. Using our reasoning, using our thinking, using our meditation, using our eyes, looking for it, expecting to see it. In every situation you're in, you can say, where's the kingdom in this? How does the kingdom work with this situation? How do you seek it? You seek it, again, through thinking, through meditation, through reasoning, and through just having a desire inside and an expectation inside you that I'm going to find it. So, you know, when you start doing that, all the worry of what might happen is gone. Because now you're looking for the kingdom in every situation. And you don't have time to think about what other things might happen. You know, all the things that they're teaching they're teaching a lot of good stuff out there right now about positive thinking, about getting rid of negative thinking and all that. But you know, all these things come when you seek the kingdom and righteousness. You actually start practicing all these things that the psychiatrists and psychologists and all the educated people are going to say, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, all that comes to us automatically when we do what he said to do. Because he knows all about that stuff. It's not saying it's not true. What they say is great stuff. It's just saying we got it from the roots up, not just trying to stick a fruit on the tree. We got it from if we just do this. Where are you looking? Where is the kingdom? You know, we were talking about this in our book the other day, and I thought, well, I forget that there's a lot of people that when they pray, they think the prayers have to go up into heaven. Paul said, you don't need to go up and you don't need to go down. The word that you're looking for is right here. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is now here. It's accessible to you. And once you get born again, you're the Spirit, and now you can enter into it. But where is it? He just said, it's in the middle of you. Now, this may seem like a small little point on adjustment, but it's actually a rather large one. When you're seeking, when you're in this relationship, people say, I just don't feel him. Well, what were you looking for? Because if you're looking in the wrong place and you're looking for a board stretcher that you don't know what it looks like, you're not going to find it. You got to be looking at the right place. And you got to be looking at, you got to have an idea what you're looking for. Then you'll find it. And when you find it, everything is added to you. Everything is taken care of. And where is the kingdom? If it's inside of you, that's where you got to be seeking. How important is this? I think it's pretty big. Because if you're thinking at all in your mind, you got to reach out. I had a friend, his name was Dan. He went through Vietnam. He had a lot of. Oh, he was living in a Nebraska dump, homeless, and then he was a multimillionaire in the oil fields of Montana, driving a Mercedes through the mud because he had so much money. And then he said, "Man, I reach out and things I want and God, and it's like he just lets me touch him a little bit, and then just keeps. No matter how far I reach, he just pulls it a little farther away from me." That was his image of what was going on in his life. And I said, here's the problem. You're reaching for something. And it's not the kingdom. It's the kingdom you don't reach for. It's here. You literally start thinking when you're praying. You actually start reasoning in your mind that everything you need, your healing, your victory, your strength. The Bible talks about grace, but it talks about dunamis, the power of God, and it interexchanges those words in one verse and another, and it's saying the grace that enters here, it's in here. If you want strength for the day, you pull it out of here, not up here, not out there, not from somebody else. Well, I just can't live without you. You know, people say that about, well, my mother didn't like me, so my life's a wreck. What's that got to do with anything? Well, my dad abandoned me, so now I have all these issues. Not when you seek the kingdom. All these heartbreaks, all these issues that we have in life are all fixed, and everything comes complete when you seek the kingdom and righteousness. All you got to do is believe it. And if you think that's easy, you haven't tried. But if you, it's not too difficult. It's not out of our reach. Go home. I was talking to Michael about going home, and he just said, you know, John, as you were tearing about that, he said, I thought about the old song we used to sing. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, Lord, I don't know what I'll do. What a goofy song. I liked it. Did you? I liked it. And I go, wow. That's bogus. You're sitting there thinking, I'm going to go home to heaven. You missed it. You didn't see the kingdom. You're barking up a wrong tree. You're not to have in this lifetime or in the lifetime to come what you need, because you're not sick, because the kingdom is not up there. The kingdom of God is here. I want to go home. Where's home? And you know, when you get home, it feels so good to be home. Home is where you belong. It's where you function. It's where you're safe. It's where everything comes together. It's where you're fed everything. Man, I believe God was speaking to me when he said, go home. Father, I thank you for this day. You said you'd give us our daily bread. Today, we've spent this time seeking the kingdom of God. We've been reasoning for the last few minutes here. We've been craving, we've been desiring, literally demanding that we understand and enter the kingdom of God. And Lord, I know we found it. And we thank you for it. And by finding it right now at this moment, here in this room, here in our hearts, people listening to me on the internet, switching their whole gaze off of other things, other concerns, worries, desires, and all of a sudden they repent because the kingdom is now. They change it. We're all changing our thinking, and we're taking our eyes and we're focusing it in our innermost being where the kingdom is. And we're finding everything pertaining to life and godliness, everything pertaining to our flesh, our relationships, the healing of our heart, And we say, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, that you made a way that we could have this free gift, and that you made a way that the veil was torn so that we could enter into the kingdom, the place where God rules. And it's right here, right now. And we're going to finish out this day by continuing seeking. And we're going to get up in the morning, we're going to seek again. Because that word seeking means to start seeking and never stop seeking. So that's our quest. And I believe, Father, right now that I can just see it in the spiritual realm. I can see jobs coming to people that need new jobs. I can see healing coming to people's bodies. I can see blessings. I can see healing to the brokenhearted. I can see power and strength to live. I can see fear being dissipated and gone. I can see myself in that hot tub with a mountain lion looking at me saying, hi, kitty. You need to understand, kitty, I am protected by the kingdom. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the reality. Spirit of God, lead us into all of it. We pray and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen, amen. Kids, you know where the kingdom is at? Inside you. Okay? So still listen to mom and dad, but put this first, okay? All right, God bless you all.